Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. When we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under Him. In God we still trust. Here in America, He's the one we turn to every time the going gets rough. He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we still trust.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that's paid for by the church. Therefore, the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fork Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Let me get lined up here, Timotheus, with my...
So behave
my,
today.
Microphone.
So behave.
Yes, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. A fellow said one time, he said, instead of turning over a new leaf, just turn over a new life.
Amen.
I thought that was pretty good.
That is pretty good,
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, turn over a new life.
Yeah, I was going to say, what if we don't have a new leaf?
Well, you just start with your life. Just start there.
That's exactly right.
So, how are you this morning, brother?
I am good. I'm a blessed man.
Getting ready to take a little trip, you told me.
Yeah, I'm going to take a little trip down south, just a little
good,
ways.
Good, 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 good.
Spend a little time away for a day or two. You know, then
kind of refurbish the old system.
Try to, yeah, try to.
That's a good thing.
That's the plan. You got any big plans coming up?
Just to take care of four little grandchildren that'll be over after a while.
That is a blessing.
Oh, mercy! Yes.
And then when they go home, Papa is like,
yeah,
Grampy. It's Grampy for you and
Grampy for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Find the recliner or the couch.
Yeah, and rest up and wait for them to come back tomorrow.
Exactly.
And I'm always happy, always glad that they are coming back.
They are four blessings from the Lord.
Amen,
for sure.
No doubt about it. Speaking of blessings from the Lord, people could be a blessing to us today by calling us and asking a question.
They could at 789-0318, 606-789-0318. You can also send us an email if you'd like at godspointofview@yahoo.com. That's godspointofview@yahoo.com. Let's see, you can also check us out on our Facebook. We're on the live, Facebook Live, I guess they call it.
Yes, sir.
At God's Point of View. So you have to look around and find the one that we're looking for, because there's different ones.
There's a couple of three that I've noticed.
So you'll find us, but for sure. Now, if you would like to speak with the great Scott, I like to call him.
Amen.
You can call him or text him after the show. You can text him now, but call him after the show. His private number, and I love doing this to him because he allows me to.
I want you to.
606-367-0137. 606-367-0137.
Amen.
And he's over there taking care of business with it as we speak.
Amen. Amen. Some folks are tuning in, and that's a good thing. We want folks to watch. Well, Timotheus, you've already mentioned what a beautiful day it is.
It is a beautiful day.
And it's a good day for just appreciating being alive and appreciating how God has provided for us. Amen.
I love spring, how everything comes back to life, because it reminds me of a resurrection.
It does indeed. This is the theme that I was talking about grandchildren a minute ago. Great opportunity for parents and grandparents to teach their little ones about the resurrection.
Yes.
This time of the year especially. Mm-hmm. All the trees blooming out, and what appeared to be dead,
yeah,
is alive.
Is alive.
And we need to take advantage of those opportunities every chance we get. I want to say thank you to everybody that's watching today and listening today. We appreciate them so much. We left the air last week, and I forgot what we were talking about last week, but something important, I'm sure.
Well, we're going to have to get some more help in, because I wasn't prepared, so it'll take me a minute to figure out what we were talking about last week.
I usually make notes and write down.
Well, I do know we started talking about some Islam issues.
Yes, we did.
Talk a little bit about
that. We did, and I've got that here. I want to talk about, I'd like for us to talk about one thing before we get to that. And we thought we would talk about some issues that dealt with Islam because the resurrection is just right around the corner, the time of the year that we
celebrate.
Recognize mm-hmm. and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Of course, every Lord's Day, we like to say, we recognize and celebrate the
Amen.
Resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But one time a year, the world is thinking about it more than any other time, I would say, wouldn't you?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, I certainly hope so as well.
And it's not about eggs and bunnies.
No, really isn't. Those are simply tools. Remember, methods are many, doctrines are few. Methods always change.
Doctrines never do.
And so those are tools that we use to help kids learn mm-hmm. about spiritual things. You might say that everything we use is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
We have pews, that's to make things more comfortable for people, and if you're fortunate, most people are these days, to have padded pews.
Yep.
That's just a tool. They're not a necessity. We've come to view them as a necessity, air conditioned mm-hmm. Buildings and all those kinds of things. Those are luxuries.
Amen.
And they do help people in terms of being able to listen, and listening is extremely important. Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel, the Shema, the Lord thy God is one. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." That was one of the first scriptures that the faithful Jew would learn as a child. And so it's extremely important that we remember that when our little ones are little,
mm-hmm.
One Catholic theologian used to say, "Give us your child for the first 7 years, and we'll have him for the next 70. I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
What you learn when you're little sticks with you, your experiences of life. Speaking of experiences, I want to talk about this today because I find that it's just amazing how people believe about things. Something nearly 45 years, I would give crosses away.
Mm-hmm.
I still give crosses away. I've got crosses in this pocket, crosses in that pocket, here a pocket, there a pocket,
everywhere a pocket.
There you go. And crosses there for people who may not have thought about Jesus today. Just a little reminder, a nice little poem in the card. And so in nearly 45 years of giving crosses away, I've had it rejected twice.
Wow.
Up until about 12, 13, not quite 2 weeks ago, I'd only had it rejected once.
Oh.
Well, the first time I had it rejected, someone rejected the cross, was in a shopping center parking lot by a crotchety old man, and he was angry. He was an angry fellow.
Just miserable.
Yeah, just miserable. I tried to be jovial with him and cut up with him a little bit. It was Christmas time, and I said something about, "You reckon you're going to get anything for Christmas? Been a good boy," and all those kinds of things.
Bah humbug.
He was. He said, "Well," I said, I'm good all the time," or something to that effect. So I thought, well, I'll try Jesus. Santa didn't work, so I'll try Jesus. And you know, he wouldn't take the cross. He would not take it.
Wow.
Because he was, he just didn't have a need for that, he said, if I remember correctly. And I thought, oh, my friend.
He didn't think he had a need.
You don't know how badly you need it.
Yeah.
And then the second time, and that's a pretty good record up to that point,
mm-hmm.
Nearly 45 years, and one time, one person rejected it. But it happened again about 10 or 12 days ago.
Wow.
Had a fellow representing the Jehovah's Witnesses stop by the house.
Oh, okay.
And we talked, it's just a nice fellow, what's the word, there was a movie about Miss Congeniality several years ago. He was just a real nice fella. And I asked him, I said, "Well, let me give you something." And he wouldn't take it.
Hmm.
And now I wasn't trying to be mean. I wasn't trying to cause trouble or anything. But you never know when people might change their mind.
Amen.
And the reason the Jehovah's Witnesses won't take the cross is they believe that the Bible mistranslate cross. Now, if we have some of our Jehovah's Witness friends listening, they could call me and correct me when I'm wrong. And Timothy, as you know, I've been wrong many times.
And yes, and you would admit that.
I will. And they believe the correct word for cross is stake.
Stake?
Yeah. Jesus was crucified on a stake. And so the cross is idolatry to them. They just won't take it.
Hmm.
And so I said, well, surely you don't believe that. That's nonsense. You don't believe that. Well, I knew he did, and I didn't pursue it any further. We parted as friends.
Yeah, you didn't want to make any enemies.
No, I don't want any enemies. I have enough of those already.
without having to make some.
I don't want to make any. But I got to thinking about some of the beliefs, and since we were going to talk about Islam some today, over the next 3 or 4 weeks, actually, up until about Easter, in terms of the resurrection, I thought it might be good just to use that as an illustration about how some people believe about things. Let me just share with you from a little book entitled Religions of the World, Passport. I've given, I don't know how many of these away over the years. Got some at the house, got some over at the church.
Mm-hmm.
This takes about 7 or 8 or 9 world religions and just gives you a synopsis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of a little overview.
Yeah, a little overview.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a sip of coffee now.
Go ahead. Give us that Bill Barker when you get down there one time. There you go.
Yeah. 74 degrees out today, Bill would say. What is the temperature, man?
58.9, as a matter of fact.
Going to be up about 75 today, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, we're going to be up there. Yes, sir.
So the Jehovah's Witness, by the way, I told him, I said, I respect the fact that you're out here knocking on doors.
You have to, don't
you? Yeah.
Even the boys with the Mormons, you know, you have to admire their work ethic for what they believe.
So, if you don't know, it would do you well to study up on some of these beliefs. Jehovah's Witnesses believe in God, and they refer to him as Jehovah. They believe Christ, however, is a created angel. The scripture they use is not the Bible we use, but the New World Translation, and they translate things pretty much the way they want to.
Hmm.
And they believe that salvation is by faith and works. And we know, according to the Bible, the New Testament, for you are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But they believe that it works, and that may be a part of the reason that they go out and knock on doors and so forth.
Could be.
But here's what they believe about God. Jehovah is the proper name of the God of the Jehovah's Witness, and none other will suffice. He is the supreme creator and ruler of the universe, and he is not a trinity.
Mm.
And then Christ, Jesus, was Jehovah's first creation. Before he was conceived in Mary and became a man, he was Michael, the archangel.
Oh.
He became Michael again upon his resurrection, which was not physical but spiritual and immaterial.
So they're not saying he really died physically on the cross, just spiritually.
There you go.
Okay.
As far as scripture is concerned, Jehovah's Witnesses recognize the New World Translation of the Bible as divine revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Its accurate interpretation comes only through the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society of Pennsylvania.
Mm.
And, of course, they believe that in the New Covenant, Jesus is the mediator of the New Covenant for 144,000 anointed believers who will enjoy heaven. Everybody else, they don't have the heavenly hope. They've got the earthly hope. And so if Christian people could take their Bible and study their Bible,
mm-hmm.
and I saw a little thing recently I thought was cute. It was an advertisement. You know, we see these advertisements for all kinds of physical maladies. Mm-hmm. You know, are you run down? Are you tired? Do you want to go to sleep go to bed with the chickens? Is that your problem? You know, that kind of thing. And then they'll mention some kind of a
wonder drug.
Yeah. Well, I saw something that was a takeoff on that and said, are you anxious? Are you tired? Are you finding yourself failing? Maybe you should try to practice. It was about musical instruments. and people trying to play them, and they get frustrated, and they couldn't.
Yeah.
And the cure for it is to practice. That was the cure. Sounds like a medication. You need to practice.
That's a vicious cycle. So it is. I'm sick of practicing, so I've got to practice some more.
So if people, now just apply that to the Bible.
Yeah.
If people would read the Bible a little more and read, have a devotional time, of course, but then read specifically. Read with a certain fact in mind, a certain question in mind.
Yeah.
That's the whole format of this program.
Or maybe a subject in the Bible.
A subject in the Bible.
Yeah.
And there, we've got a phone call coming, but there's people, there's Bibles that have an index arranged alphabetically with subjects.
Yeah, and it'll give you all the scripture.
Sure it will.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View. Your question or comment, please.
Could you tell me who the two witnesses are in the Revelation?
Well, many people believe that they are Elijah and Moses. That's that's what some believe. What do you believe?
Well, I thought it was Elijah and Enoch.
And
I guess that's how you pronounce
Enoch.
The name, the E-N-O-C-H.
That's correct. That's correct. Those two, of course, never died.
Right.
Yeah, and that's, and many people
they
believe that.
They were the two called away, but they didn't die.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's why I thought it was so.
You know, you may be right. You may be right. Here's a good point, sister.
Okay.
There's a lot of things we really don't know for sure. Now, we can read and we can listen to all kinds of so-called experts who know, yet you listen to another expert and he may tell you something different. There's some things that are really clear in the Bible. And you, as one old brother used to say, we'd have to have help to misunderstand it. But there are other things that require study.
Uh-huh.
And so people will fall out because they disagree on something. Oh, my, let's not fall out.
Oh, no, I don't. But I was just, I was curious because, like I said, I thought it was Enoch and Elijah.
Well,
I have read where some people did think it was Moses.
You know why? Do you know why people think it was Moses and Elijah instead of Enoch?
No.
Moses was the great lawgiver.
Oh, okay.
He gave the Ten Commandments and the law. Well, Elijah represents the great prophets.
Okay.
But now, people who believe it was Enoch can give testimony to the fact that Enoch and Elijah never died.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, Enoch just went on to be with God. Yeah. The Lord took him.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought it was.
It may be. You know what?
And then I read in one place where they said, well, you know, if it, why did God, why did they not list who the two witnesses was?
Why do you think?
So,
why do you
because
think?
Because we're not supposed to know.
Or maybe it's to keep us studying.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah. Bless your heart. I love your spirit. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's very encouraging when the world that we live in today and you have a call like that and that's what's on her mind.
Yeah.
That is very encouraging.
I think so.
You know, because we very rarely hear that from anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that's what's on her mind, and she's curious, and yeah. I think that's a wonderful thing.
And she's studying the Bible.
Amen.
You see, if more of us would do that, we would be able to give an answer of the reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. There are certain key Bible verses people need to memorize. Mm-hmm. That's one of them, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. That means to set him apart in your heart above everything else. Why? So that you'll be able to give an answer. So when a Jehovah's Witness or some of our Mormon neighbors come by and knock on the door, we're not going to be mean to them, but we'll be able to answer them with a thus saith the Lord. And don't be like the good sister that called me one day and said, Pastor, and she was whispering. And I said, What? And she said, there's a couple of Mormons here at my door. Would you come over to my house and talk with them? And I stopped whispering at that point. I said, no, you need to open that door and talk to them yourself.
Yeah.
You see, don't rely on your pastor to do your Christian living.
Yeah.
and your Christian duty.
Your relationship with God is your relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. So study to show yourself approved. There's another one, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You're going to have to give an account one of these days of how you've used the Word of God. That's why we're on the air. We're trying to help. We're doing it. It helps us.
Yeah.
And we want it to help you as well. So we were talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses and what they believe. You mentioned Mormons a minute ago, Timotheus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to Mormons, God is, of course, the Mormon God is the Heavenly Father. But they take another slant on who God is. Here's what they say. The Heavenly Father is a supremely glorified man who once was as we are.
Mm.
The spirits of all people are the product of his union with heavenly mothers. Without being rude, that just is nonsensical. The God of the Bible knows nothing of that, and people who study the Bible know nothing of that. Christ is also known as Jehovah. Get this now, was the firstborn spirit child of the Heavenly Father. He became mortal through a physical union with Mary. Hmm. That's blasphemy.
Mm-hmm. According to our scripture,
yes. His atoning death and a person's good works are the basis of salvation. Let me tell you something, my friend. Your good works are as filthy rags to God. And people study that, and what is a filthy rag? It is a discarded menstrual garment. That's what Isaiah was referring to.
Yeah.
Our works are nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was accomplished for our salvation on the cross when Jesus said it's finished.
Not the stake.
The cross. If you go back and look the word up, who invented the cross, how it was constructed, do a little research. I'm talking to my Jehovah's Witness friends. Do a little research. I asked the fellow that was over the other day, I said, do you have one of Charles T. Russell's? Now, I was trying to be a little tricky here. I said, do you have Charles T. Russell's book, Millions Living Will Never Die? And he said, no, he hadn't even heard of that book. Well, you see, Charles T. Russell prophesied that Jesus would come back to the earth, and Abraham and all of the Old Testament prophets would raise from the dead. Jesus would be walking the earth. When it didn't happen, the exact date around World War I, the end of World War I,
mm-hmm.
when it didn't happen, people were saying, has anybody seen Abraham lately? They were making fun of him.
Oh.
And they recalled all those books they could. So it didn't surprise me that he had not heard of that book.
I see.
So I was in a conversation one time with some Mormon elders, and they were young men, about 20 years old, and they do a certain amount of missionary work that their Mormon church requires. And they became angry when I would give them a Bible answer. And this was probably about 1980, 1981, and so I probably gave it to them with a little more attitude than I would today.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Not the great Scott.
And so I told him, I said, you know, you don't know enough to teach a first grader, much less trying to teach people how to get to heaven. And he stood at that point and said, you're right. I don't know the Bible. I know the Book of Mormon, but not the Bible. I don't want to know the Bible. I want to know the Book of Mormon. Well, recently in the Book of the Mormon religion has made news. They've decided their leader, their president, he's called, has had another revelation from God.
Another epiphany.
Yes. And they're completely dropping the name Mormon, you know.
No.
Yeah.
I did not know
that.
Yeah,
they are. They're going to go
because,
back.
Because the president of the religion says so.
Yeah, because he says so.
Hmm.
And I had a notation about that here somewhere. I can't seem to put my finger on it right now, but he had a revelation the other night. He's 94 years old.
Oh.
And back in 1990, when he was just one of the bishops, he tried to do the same thing, but he was put down. They wouldn't let him do it. He said God came to him and told him essentially that they were going to drop the name Mormon, and they were going to use the name Jehovah, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That was the correct name, not the name Mormon.
Hmm.
And so,
well, they have used that name.
They have,
but not to the extent of what he's wanting, right?
Well, it's amazing. Not if you go back and look at religions and how they started. The Baptists, for instance, they weren't the ones that gave themselves the name Baptist.
Oh, okay.
Others gave them the name Baptist. John the Baptist never called himself a Baptist.
Yeah.
He was called a Baptist because he baptized people.
Yep.
And the Baptist, you know, I thought I had that here with me. But anyway, the Anabaptists, which started back in the 16th century, if memory serves me correctly, up in Pennsylvania, if memory serves me, they would take individuals that had been christened or sprinkled as infants and rebaptize them. And they called them Anabaptist. Yeah, they'd submerse them.
I see.
Because they believed, rightly so, that baptism is an immersion.
Mm-hmm.
And so they called them Anabaptist. Anna meaning again, Baptist meaning to baptize.
Yeah, not anti, but
no,
Anna.
Anna meaning again, do it again. And then the Methodists, of course, they were called Methodists because of the way in which the Methodists approached things. John Wesley was a very methodic fella, and so they others called them Methodists.
But it wasn't about him. It
wasn't about him at all.
Yeah,
no.
Calling it that.
Yeah, and really, in a sense, there's nothing wrong with that until it becomes divisive.
Yeah.
And when it starts dividing, Martin Luther, of course, you know the group that came after him, the Lutherans.
Mm-hmm.
And he pleaded with them one day. He said, "Don't I pray, call not thyself Lutherans, call thyself Christians." But they followed him, and so they called themselves Lutherans. Every group that's ever had anybody to start a movement within a body or create a new body, people call themselves after that movement. That's the way it's been down through the ages.
And it can get into maybe idolatry, because if you're looking at that person and thinking they're so great, we're going to call ourselves that instead of focusing more on God and being a Christian.
Yeah.
You could get in some big issues with that.
Yeah, that would be idolatry.
Yeah, and now we've got peoples that's calling themselves all kinds of stuff all over here. Even here in the county, we have so many different names.
Oh, yeah.
But like you always say, don't let it divide us. We still believe what we believe, and don't sweat the small stuff, as the young lady that called earlier.
Yeah, there's very few things that are essential.
Mm-hmm.
Very few things. If we'll focus on that as our unity, the thing that will produce unity.
Yes.
We'll fare much better. But, you know, that's been preached and taught for hundreds of years now, but people still, you know, are going to do their thing. That's why I said a moment ago that the president now of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints tried to do this same thing in 1990 when he was a younger man.
Mm-hmm.
And not quite as far up the line, but now he's the head of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he can pretty well get a dream anytime he wants to.
Oh, he's not limited.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, his wife said something to the effect that he'd be laying in the bed and all of a sudden he'd sit up, and she knew he was getting a revelation from God. I'm paraphrasing now.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd just leave the room and he'd come down maybe in a couple of hours waving a yellow notepad saying this is what God told him to do. So God has told him to drop the name Mormon and go back to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And that's what they're doing. A lot of people are upset with it because, they're going to have to change the name of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints
Tabernacle Choir.
I'm tired by the time I get to...
How are you going to put that on the headlines? Wow.
Find your marquee that's big enough for that, right?
I don't think that'd fit on a billboard that we can see.
Oh, me.
I don't mean to make fun.
No,
really,
well,
don't.
We're just having a little fun.
Having a little. Yeah, having just a little fun.
Yeah. You know, last week I was trying to pronounce a word, and I couldn't, so I went back and...
You researched it.
I did. That's about the umpteenth time I've done that. I keep forgetting.
I understand
that's
that.
That's a sign of something.
Yeah.
But I can't remember what it is.
Amen.
Takiya.
Takiya?
It's T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A. Takiya. Takiya. That is the Arabic word, the Muslim word, for deception or lying.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
And it's like they think it's all right to deceive as long as it advances their cause.
And that's in the Quran, right?
That's in the Quran.
Yeah.
So there was much made of the fact that the individuals that led the 2001 attack on the planes, you know.
I understand.
They had gone the night before, they had gone out to the bars and the strip clubs and all of that and was drinking and swarping and being in all those places they shouldn't have been in.
Yeah.
And a lot of people took that to mean, well, they're just you know, sinners like everybody else. Well, that's true, they were. But that was their method of deceiving people into thinking that we're just good old country boys just like everybody else, you know. We go to the strip clubs and all
of
that.
Kind of happening in our country today.
Sure. They did that to make a statement of who they were. They were just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But they were really getting ready to kill.
Infiltrating.
Yes. Mm. Yes. So, anyway, that's the way you pronounce it. It's after 11 o'clock. I've talked too long. We need more time.
Need more time, brother.
Thank you, brother.
We want to thank you for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue. I'd like to invite you to services at the church. Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening life groups at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And join us again next week for another edition of God's Point of View.